thanks for joining me. Let's pray. We will pray the chaplet for you, for whatever your needs are, for whatever struggles maybe you're going through right now. I think sometimes it's good just to have a little extra prayer power. I mean, we all do it. I do it. You know, when you're really going through a tough time, you say to somebody, hey, could you pray for me? I really could use your prayers. And I think it makes a difference. Join me now, but pray from the heart. Let's really turn to God. Let's pray deep. Let's pray trusting. Let's pray with faith. Let's pray with hope. And let's just implore God's mercy. And I know that the Lord hears these prayers, and I know clearly he's going to answer. Just a couple, just one or two petitions. This one just came in and said, you know, could you pray for Steve? He's lost hope in life. He said he just wants to finish what he's working on. Then he wants to die. He's married just a couple of years ago, and his wife is very afraid. He suffered from depression silently. He's now in a hospital getting some care, but could you lift him up through the intercession of St. Joseph, the spouse of our Blessed Mother, and through St. Dimphna, who's the patron of mental health? And we will certainly do that. And we'll pray for anyone right now who's struggling with depression, with suicidal ideation, anyone crippled by anxiety. We'll call upon those powerful saints really to intercede, especially St. Dimphna. I think it's such an important issue. My heart goes out to our last caller there who lost her brother by suicide, and the anguish and the pain from that loss. I just want to ask God to comfort anyone who's lost loved ones by suicide or by tragedy, by accident. I just ask God to heal. One other person wrote to me here and said, hey, my name is Doug, and my family and I live in Indiana. My wife and I have been battling chronic health issues now for over a year. We've been to so many doctors. No one can figure out what's going on. We're just trying to keep the faith, and we're praying that it'll resolve. But we're so tired mentally and emotionally. On top of that, we've got a seven-month-old baby boy. We also have a younger daughter. So add that to the physical lists. Now, I know anything's possible to the Lord. Miracles can and do happen through prayer. I'm just humbly asking the prayers from you and from those who pray with you that our Lord will intercede and lift this sickness from my wife, just so she can get back to being a mom and a wife without the worry and the burden of whatever it is that's afflicting her. We've been getting closer to the Lord over the past couple years. It just seems like the harder we try, the more we do achieve that closeness, the more we're being tested. Multiple problems and heartaches. Just would really appreciate the help. Thank you very much. And Doug, we are praying for you, and we're going to pray for your wife. Don't give up. Do not give up. You know, these attacks that you're undergoing, God in his permissive will is allowing them. You will get through this. He's going to hear these prayers. We're really going to pray that these physicians can determine what's the matter with your wife, and we'll pray for complete healing. If it's through medicine, praise God. If it's by the divine touch of God, that's really what we'll ask for today, that her condition will begin to change from this prayer forward when we begin this chaplet. Maggie, thanks for joining me today. It's always good to pray with you. Anything you want to lift up or pray for?
Thanks, Drew. I've got a couple of intentions today. I just heard from my mom before the show that she apparently has just come down with COVID after coming to visit this past weekend. So I want to lift her up.
Wow. Is that her second time getting it or first?
I think it's her second.
Well, hopefully she'll get through.
Yeah, she said she was really, really tired. And then lastly, I need to lift up someone named Paulina. She really needs prayers for healing and peace, and to still see the beauty in life. I want to lift up her family and for reconciliation of her marriage, especially for her little one's sake.
All right. Well, we'll lift them up. And one final one here I want to sneak this into. This person says, could you pray for my daughter to go back to the local Catholic high school? She can't afford the tuition. And also pray for her hair loss, for hair loss. My teenage daughter is now experiencing that. We'll certainly do that. Financial problems, hair loss can be very, very difficult. We'll lift up all these intentions, and of course, we'll take your intentions as well. So you can join me anytime. Here's the number, especially if you're new to the to this radio show. The number is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. If you don't get through, and I know the phone lines jam pretty quickly as we begin the prayer, Maggie is monitoring our Twitter feed. And maybe you're shy, you don't want to come on the air. If you send us your intention there, Maggie will bring more of those intentions during the third decade of our chaplet today. And the Twitter handle is @DrewMarianiShow, at Drew Mariani Show. Please follow me also at Drew Mariani, and be great to stay in touch with you. Also on all of our social media. It's great to stay in touch with you there. But let's pray right now. We'll lift you up. Oh, tomorrow, one final thing. Father Rocky's birthday. You know, if you pray the rosary with him, I want to pray for him today. Just put it on the radar so you can maybe wish him a happy birthday tomorrow as well. But tomorrow is his birthday, so I'm going to pray in advance on birthday eve. I'm going to pray for him right now because I may not be with you tomorrow, but I just want to lift him up and for his intentions. So we'll pray now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, our first call this afternoon comes from Mercedes, and she's praying with us in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Hey, Mercedes, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew.
Hey.
I'm calling to ask for prayers for a friend who has stage 5 kidney disease.
All right. Well, we will pray certainly for that intention, and we'll pray for you as well. That's a serious situation, kidney disease. And Lord, I just give you all those who are experiencing cancer. And I know that Mercedes' friend is not alone. And I pray for those at the various stages of cancer. And Lord, I just ask for your mercy. I thank you, too, for so many answered prayers when it comes to cancer. These incredible miracles where the tumor shrinks or it disappears, or the cancer scans show it one day and the next day it's gone. Lord, I know you can do anything. So today, so many struggle. So many are distraught. So many are losing hope. And I just bring you your children. And I just ask you to shower the grace of healing upon them, the grace of fortitude. And I just ask you to hear their prayers and to respond to their tears as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Christina, and she is praying with us in Los Angeles, California. Hi, Christina. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. I want to pray for my mother-in-law. She has stage 4 breast cancer, and I want to pray for relationship restoration in my family.
Oh, important prayer. But you know what, Christina? I know God hears this prayer. He says, you know, that anything we ask in virtuous action will be granted if it's according to his will. And I really do believe reconciliation is one of those things that the Lord wants. He doesn't want division in the family. Lord, I give you right now Christina, and I give to you her family. And I just, I ask for mercy. I pray for broken relationships between mother and son and father and daughter or whatever the dynamic may be. I pray for the division amongst siblings, amongst coworkers, amongst friends and neighbors. And Lord, I just ask for that healing. But I ask in particular for the family. I know you hear this prayer, and I just ask that whatever those wounds are, that they heal, the new bridges can be formed. And I do, again, give you cancer. I pray for her mother-in-law with stage 4 cancer. And Lord, may today be a day of abundant healing for those crying out with cancer. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before I take a few more calls, let me bring Maggie in. She is monitoring many of the intentions you sent on Twitter. You can continue to do that at Drew Mariani Show. And of course, you can email me your answered prayers. Thank you for doing that. Send it to my email, drew@relevantradio.com. Maggie, what's coming in?
Sharon wrote to us and she said, I need prayers for my nephew and his wife. They're expecting their second child in August. They went for a routine ultrasound and found out that the baby has a mass on his lung and is missing a kidney. Wow. Asking for a miracle. Jesus, I trust in you. Judy wrote to us and said, please pray for the repose of the soul of Miss Ann Bonner, who passed away yesterday, fortunately with a short period of suffering. Thank you. We love you at Relevant Radio.
Wow.
Rita wrote to us and said, dear Drew, please pray for my dad, David. He's 86 and had to be ambulanced to the ER because he's having tremors again. Dementia is taking him from us little by little. Please pray that the doctors today are blessed with enlightenment on how to cure his tremors. May God bless you. Mac says he wants to pray for peace in this crazy world.
Good for you, Mac.
And lastly, Drew, you're going to like this one. Elizabeth wrote to us and said, prayers answered. I called about my niece, who is 22 weeks pregnant and with high risk of losing the baby in December. Well, she made it past 40 weeks and yesterday delivered a healthy baby girl, thanks to all the Divine Mercy warriors.
I love it. I love it so much. It's so great. You know, sometimes I struggle. Do I share answered prayers to help people build their faith, or do I share the petitions? And quite often I defer to petitions just because, gosh, there's so many people who are in need of God's prayer. But I'm so grateful for every answered prayer. You got to send them in. We want to share them with others. And I do think when God allows these prayers to be answered, it helps build one's faith. You know, I think it's really, really important that you do that. Again, drew@relevantradio.com, drew@relevantradio.com. Let me take a few more calls. We'll take Lala, who is in Cedar Park, Texas. She's praying with us today as we continue our chaplet. Lala, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I was just calling to say thanks to God. Luis Rodriguez is doing better, and my granddaughter, she had a healthy baby, and they're both doing great.
Praise God.
But I'm still asking for another miracle for Luis Rodriguez, because he's still getting those headaches, and they're saying that his brain is shrinking, and that's where he's getting the headaches. But he haven't been to the MRI yet. You know, he's supposed to get an MRI, but he hasn't got it yet until, it'll be until May the 23rd. Yeah. And so, you know, in the meantime, I said, I'm going to call again to ask prayers for him so God will heal him from, you know, those headaches, that he, whatever the problem is with his brain, that God may heal him.
And amen to that.
Amen, yes. And also for Jerry Wick, that's my son-in-law, and he's having a hard time hearing from one ear, but he does have a loud sound on his ear, and that's where he can hear. So I'm asking God also for his healing.
Well, you got it. First of all, thank you so much for calling. Thank you for the answered prayers. I love those. And we pray right now for Luis, who's having terrible headaches. And Lord, I pray for anyone who's suffering from migraines, from ocular migraines, from headaches in general, anyone who has brain issues or trauma. And Lord, I just ask you to resolve those particular issues because they really are crippling. And those who have to endure that type of ailment, boy, it's just, it's blinding. And I ask for your mercy. I give you Lala and all her intentions, everyone who's written, everyone we've voiced, and everyone who's now united to me. Heavenly Father, hear our prayers as we turn to you and pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Our next call comes from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Vince, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Hey,
I'd like
for calling.
To, thank you. I'd like to pray for my dad, Howard Remley. I had taken care of him for 2 years, and it was kind of hard for me to take care of him. And there were several times where I kind of got angry with him and upset and short patience with him. Yeah. And one night I. Well, he passed away at my house, and it was very sad. And and I tried CPR and getting help there, and got a priest to give him anointing. And it was after I'm not sure if he had already passed. I got the priest, but okay. I'm praying that he have the holy and happy death, and that he loved the Divine Mercy chaplet. That was on EWTN. That was one of his favorite prayers.
That's wonderful.
So I pray that, yeah.
It's a beautiful version of it.
It is.
So look, Vince.
I just pray that he have a holy and happy death.
Yeah, we'll lift up his soul right now. And I don't want you to second guess yourself either. Because I know sometimes when our parents pass away, we think, God, we could have been better sons or better daughters. And we could have done more. And I shouldn't have been so short. You know, we're all human. So your father totally understands. He's in a better place right now. And my heart goes out to you. My condolences for your loss. But let's pray the chaplet for him because this was his love as it is mine. And I take such comfort in knowing that this is a prayer for the sick and for the dying. That's what this prayer is really all about. And, you know, I say a million times on the program that we should be reciting this for anyone who's dying. But you know, God's outside of time, too. And if your parents have gone before you or something else, pray this prayer. Great grace reaches that soul. And I really believe because of this, a lot of souls are ultimately saved. St. Faustina says the eternal salvation for certain souls in that final moment depends on our prayers. So let's pray right now. We will pray for those God is calling home today in this moment. We'll pray for those that we loved who've gone before us. Let's pray for the hour of our own death. And again, I do want to pray for those who mourn, those who are suffering the loss of those they love. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Tino in Austin, Texas. Tino, good afternoon.
Hey, Drew, how are you?
Hey, I'm well today. Feeling good. Thank you. How are you? How can we pray for you? Good.
I'm calling because my parish has had the consecration of our new church building postponed several times, and the next date given is June 17th, so I'd just like to pray that that finally be the date where we can celebrate Mass in our new parish building for the first time.
Great prayer. Hey, Tino, thank you for calling. I want to pray for all of your personal intentions. Your signal was, it was a little hard at times to hear, but I think I got it. The opening of your new church building has been postponed till June, and you want prayers for it. And it's a great prayer. Let's continue to pray. This will be a source of extraordinary grace and a place where those who come can really encounter God in a profound way. And thank you for calling for that. We'll add Sandra to the mix as well today. She's in Orange County, California, before we pray our final decade. Sandra, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew and Maggie.
Hey.
I was calling for prayer intentions for healing and reconciliation of my marriage.
Okay. Oh, okay, let's pray for that, Sandra. I'm sorry to hear that. How long have you been separated?
It's been a couple of months now. I want to say it's been since December or November.
Okay.
And my husband just recently told me that, well, we were still living together, but we've been kind of dealing with our issues. And he just recently told me that he's leaving the house.
All right. Well, look, here's the thing. Let's pray with hope. All right. Let's pray with confidence. And I'm sure, and I'm assuming you really want your marriage to succeed. I know God does.
Yeah.
And if it's a sacramental marriage, I am convinced God's going to hear these prayers. I've had many testimonies of people in similar situations have had miraculous reunions, conversion of heart. Let's pray now for your husband. Let's pray for whatever the division is, whatever. If there's a demonic element creating, the hardening of hearts or the separation or creating whatever the problems. I don't know all the details, and I don't want you to necessarily share them, but I just, Lord, I give you broken relationships and broken marriages. I give you in particular this woman and her husband who wants her marriage to continue. There is a source out there, Sandra. Before we pray, I want to give you this website. There's a group called Retrovine. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them or not. Their website is very simple. This goes for anybody right now. If your marriage is going through a tough time, and maybe this is your last shot, maybe you get your spouse to just to give you one last shot, check out helpourmarriage.com. Helpourmarriage.com. The group is called Retrovi. I've spoken to people. In fact, Maggie, we should have somebody on the air to address this. The success rate has been pretty good with that. But first step is prayer. And Lord, I know that you promised that whatever we ask of you in this hour, by your passion, it would be granted if it was according to your will. And I know that you want marriages reconciled. So I ask you to vanquish any dark force that could be creating separation. You heal any wounds. You rekindle the fire of love in the hearts of those that have grown cold. And Lord, I ask for forgiveness, for understanding, and for new beginnings. And I give you everyone who's united to me right now, wherever they are, Louise and Missouri and Genevieve and John and Barbara and Rose and Alicia and Anthony and Vince and everyone on hold, everyone who's written. And I just turn to you now, giving you our hearts. You know our needs. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Fatima,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
St. Faustina,
pray for us.
St. John Paul II,
pray for us.
St. Peregrine,
pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
I don't know who the patron saint of broken marriages is. St. Frida, I don't know. Pray for us.
Pray for us.
St. Divna, pray for us.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for praying with me. It really is, it's special. I know God hears your prayers. I want you to know that too. Keep praying, keep trusting, and don't give up hope, because God is on your side. I'll be right back.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Hey, if you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
Your Life Connected, The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. Great to be here with you today. I was thinking just a little bit about so much of the news that we are getting. You know, I thought today would be a great day to talk just a little bit about truth, right? Sharing the good news. It has become far more difficult, I think, today than ever when facts are secularized, right? Cultural elites see religion as a threat. I want you to know that truth always prevails. You know, in 2016, there was a term that Donald Trump coined called fake news. And suddenly we had this fake news phenomenon that actually made it into the Oxford Dictionary, right? And there was a story out there. I don't, where did I see this? I think it was actually the Oxford English Dictionary. I looked this up. It said the word of the year in 2016 was post-truth. Post-truth. Post-hyphen truth, right? Which is defined as relating to or denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal belief. So just to give you an example, what's that mean? You know, a man can't be a woman. I hate to disappoint you. And women can't be men, okay? We're past that now. But a lot of people think, well, I feel that way, therefore I am. So my feelings, if I feel I'm really a 5'2" Asian woman rather than a 6'3" American man, you know, of Italian descent, then, you know, I have to make my body conform to what I feel. Or you've got to say, no, you are a 5'2" Asian woman, Drew. It's okay, right? That is, even though it's not a biological reality, the truth doesn't matter, right? The truth is what you define it to be. It's your truth. Benedict XVI coined it perfectly when he called this the dictatorship of relativism. Your truth is yours, mine's mine. It's a great deception. Being post-truth, when we live in a culture like that, you know, you're seeing it in journalism. In a minute, Terry Mattingly is going to be stopping by. I want to get his take on this because I'm really frustrated as having been trained in journalism and as a broadcaster today to see how this is affecting what you are seeing and reading and watching. The American ideal for journalism has always been for a reporter to put aside their own personal thoughts, their own feelings. You know, when I was being trained, when I broke into the industry, you didn't disclose your political affiliation. Somebody should see me report on the news and say, gosh, is that guy Democrat? Is he Republican? Is he independent? Where does he stand on these issues? Today is no longer the case, right? You know exactly where somebody stands, right? So if you report on a fire on 42nd Street, It's about a fire. Not you don't weave in some, you know, some other issue like the environment, right? You gather facts, you report objectively, and yet we're seeing the infiltration of so much other stuff into areas of the news that we shouldn't even have it in. The American ideal has almost been lost. The mainstream media is now dominated by people who commit to what we call a liberal way of thinking. You know, that's why you get the Trump, you know, Russia story that never actually really existed, right? You heard all about Russian collusion forever. That was a lie. That's why the mainstream media completely dismissed Hunter Biden right before the election. Now what are you hearing? You're hearing, oh, wait a minute, there's a lot of truth to that. Wait a minute, he did own that computer, right? This is not good for our nation. It's not good for any of us. It's not good for the country to have the media operate in a post-truth era and to twist these facts. That's why we've had so much censorship during COVID. So many people, after having been vaccinated now and seeing some news, are saying, gosh, I would have thought twice before I did that, but I believed everything I saw. That's why the liberal media outlets completely ignored the former head of the Centers for Disease Control saying, hey, he wasn't included on the email chains about key information on COVID. So when you have a narrative, to fulfill, the facts, they get in the way, you write the narrative the way you want it. That's what this post-truth era is. And I want to talk a little bit about it. I want to give you the tools to be able to see through it and to talk about how do we get it back, because it really is critical. The media should really be the watchdog of the government. Right? If we have a very biased media, the country suffers and your future will suffer. I'm joined today by Terry Mattingly. He just got back. He was attending a conference at Franciscan University of Steubenville, EWDN held a conference in Washington recently on this very issue. And Terry had joined that particular conference. And he's been on the air with me in the past. He's co-founder and editor of the Get Religion blog. If you haven't seen that, check it out. Get Religion blog writes a nationally syndicated column called On Religion. And also, he's the founder of the Washington Journalism Center and at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. Hey, good to have you back, Terry. Good afternoon.
Glad to be here.
So what was the conference like? I'm glad that we actually had something like that I'm not alone when I take a look at what's being reported and when I bang my head against the wall. I'm thinking, how did journalism ever end up where we are? What was the takeaway for you from it? And, you know, give me your perspective, too. We should probably start with, you know, what happens when journalists are more interested in pushing an agenda or their feelings rather than the facts. So I'll hand you that one.
Okay, well, first of all, it was a very friendly conference, lots of discussion, lots of people saying interesting things and interesting questions and conversations. But I think one of the takeaways is that the old model of American journalism is not coming back. And I recently wrote a huge piece on this for the journal Religion and Liberty at the Acton Institute, if people want to look that up. The headline was something like The Evolving Religion of Journalism. And basically, about half the people that were at this conference stressed the fact that the Internet has crashed the business model of American journalism.
Oh, yeah.
And that right now, we used to worry about editors being kind of too dependent on their advertising. And people used to talk about the separation of church and state in the newsroom. Was the separation of advertising and editorial news content. Well, today the big worry is the big players in the economics of the media today are the people who are paying to receive the information, subscribers, viewers. And this is symbolized by their voices on Twitter and in social media. And how do you ask editors to not care what their readers think? So what we have right now is a more European style of journalism where the number one job of an editor is not to upset the people who are paying them, which is the readers. Don't upset the readers. In the South, we have an old phrase called preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what our media is doing. Fox preaches it to its choir. MSNBC preaches to its choir. CNN is trying to decide what the heck they want to try to do. They think they're in transition, Yeah. They're trying really hard to go back sort of to normal. The New York Times preaches to its choir, and there are millions and millions of them.
Yeah.
We talked a lot at the conference in D.C. about how the Associated Press now seems to be going in this direction, and it's supposed to be the news for everybody.
Yeah, no kidding.
So that was the bad news. The other half of the conference was that a lot of Catholic media people were there, and frankly, they represent a Catholic approach to this new advocacy journalism, of which you have liberal Catholic publications, you have conservative Catholic publications, and there's and these they're all putting out information that readers have to evaluate for themselves and try to figure out who they trust. So the old days are not coming back. We did talk a little bit about what publications would look like if they tried to regain some of the old trust with audiences on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But the simple fact right now is the polls indicate the American public doesn't want unbiased news.
Right,
right now, biased right. news is good business.
Right. It's really an interesting point, and I want to pick up on that because humans are biased information seekers, right? You pointed out Fox, conservatives track there. You know, if you want to get some liberal media, something to validate your view on abortion or whatever the issue of the day is, you know, then you've listened to MSNBC. CNN still tacks pretty liberal, but I hope they do something right. I hope they go ahead and go more mainstream. But will that work? That's always been a big question for me. I always thought, hey, if you had somebody that is kind of a bridge between ultra-conservative and maybe ultra-liberal, you'll get more people buying your newspaper or watching your television. But psychologically or sociologically, in terms of the sociology of this, people prefer information that confirms their existing views. And quite yeah. often we see this echo chamber effect where, you're hearing people, you're hearing the media report the media on a lot of this stuff, which is so frustrating for
yeah.
me. So you don't think a middle ground is the way to go?
No. Well, I mean, I'm old.
Yeah.
I've been fighting for decades to get people to strengthen and embrace what used to be called the American model of the press. But that was based on advertising. That was based on the fact that you tried to produce news that
yep.
drew the most eyeballs to your newspaper or your TV screen for general advertisement, for groceries and department stores and automobiles and stuff that everybody bought. Well, today you've got, some media want Ford F-150s, and the other media wants Volvo.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
And right now, Tesla is – everybody's mad at Tesla except the people that are buying them. I mean, because
yeah.
Elon Musk dared to buy Twitter, which made the progressive side of America furious at him. So right now, I can't stress this enough.
No.
If people want what you're calling the reaffirmation of their values, if they want to hear their right, that's what causes them to click, subscribe, send, like, and all that other social media stuff.
Yeah.
The Trump administration brought the New York Times millions of new digital subscribers. A wave of money came in because of Donald Trump to the New York Times. But do you think those readers wanted to read coverage of Donald Trump and his followers and voters that took that other side's concerns
right.
seriously?
Right.
Of course not.
Right. That's interesting.
And you saw what happened when Fox News, when a couple of journalists at Fox mm-hmm. News dared to cover the voting results in Arizona accurately.
Yeah, right.
The Trump side of the world screamed at them.
So true.
This is... The problem we're having is that this business model, this European advocacy press mm-hmm. model, is tearing America apart.
I agree. And Terry, hold that thought. I've got to take a break. When we come back, I want to pick up on that because I think the media is such a big player in the division that we're seeing in our country today. And if we can get that right, we might see greater unity and even greater healing in this country. My guest is Terry Mattingly. If you want to get in, love to hear from you. I'll take your calls on the other side. Maybe you are a journalist. Maybe you're in the field. Maybe you teach. Feel free to pull up a chair and join the conversation. The number is 888-914-9149. Back with more right after this.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, if you're in the market for health insurance, well, our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is here to help you and your family find the most cost-effective health plan. Learn more at relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, it's good to be with you today. If you are just joining us, I don't know, maybe you're frustrated like me. You know, I was trained as a journalist, and I remember my professor, one of my favorite professors, he said to me, you know, you're to be the watchdog of the government. Don't disclose your political affiliation. Be objective when you report. He hated the direction that news was going, and that's when I was back in school. Today, we're looking at communicating the truth in a post-truth world. What has happened to journalism? What has happened to the truth? My guest today, Terry Mattingly, he made the point that we've got this proliferation of information right now, a myriad of digital sources that are all out there competing. It's not like it used to be where you pick up your newspaper or turn on your television set. You got the convergence of traditional news media with online and digital media. We've got this 24-hour news cycle, and we're seeing pressure right now to report the news more quickly than ever. And as a result of that, the wall of separation between advertising and the editorial really has crumbled. Because if you want eyeballs with all the competition that's out there in this digital environment, then you really need to have people clicking or paying or watching what you do. And it's good to have you back here with me, Terry. We'll take a few quick calls, and we only have a few moments, but I just want to pick up on where we left off as well. We have this changing universe, a changing world, if you will, of how the news is delivered, how it's presented, and the incredible competition that's out there. And as we discussed too, people are tend to be biased. They gravitate to wanting to be reinforced in their worldview. As a result of that, we're seeing great division in the country. I think the news media played a huge role in that. You see how it threw gasoline on passions during these elections and on the economy and so many different things. How do we remedy that? And how do we get back to that? And are we going to continue to polarize and separate? Will the gap broaden, or is there a way somehow to build that bridge?
Well, I want to throw one other thing in there to make people even more depressed. Don't forget that reporting news cost way more than just throwing commentary at people.
That's true.
And commentary is what fires people up and gets them to click, especially on websites and on cable TV. Commentary is what everybody thinks of when they think of Fox News. Mm-hmm. They don't think of the 6 p.m. broadcast with Brett Baer that tries really hard to do a traditional news show.
Exactly.
I mean, so what can we do to go back? Well, you're asking the American people to change how they're behaving in the internet era. If you tried to produce a traditional American newspaper or magazine or TV show right now, the viewers and subscribers would reject it.
I agree.
And that's our huge problem at the moment. And by the way, I want to go back for a second. When you use the word truth, how are you using the word truth? Because this is another interesting part of the conference in D.C. with EWTN and Franciscan. How are you using the word truth?
Yeah, how did they define it? Well, there's certain immutable truths. In certain sexuality, a man is a man, a woman is a woman. It's defined by their chromosomal makeup. There are fundamental...
sorry, that definition is not in the Associated Press style book anymore.
So how do you define... Go ahead. How do you define truth? How are they defining truth?
At the conference, truth was defined three different ways. And you had people using the term from the podium and at the microphones three different ways.
Okay.
And they were talking about the eternal truth that is a relationship with Jesus Christ. So that was truth number one. Then second, within the battles of the Catholic Church, truth was defined as the contents of the catechism and the actual teachings of the Roman Catholic Church. But does that work right now in Germany? Does that work in San Diego? No. Does that work in Chicago?
Yep.
Or is even among American and to some degree global Catholics, is the truth as defined by the actual stated teachings of the Roman Catholic Church? Are people agreeing right now that that's the truth? And I would say that's up for grabs.
That's where I would come from on it. If you want to take a theological underpinning to this, yeah, I certainly would. But you know, in a secular culture, they're going to throw out the catechism of the Catholic Church, the teachings on everything from marriage to homosexuality to whatever. They want nothing to do with. So I don't think there really is a truth that the media operates by. I think it's relativistic.
Well, but don't forget, though, that when it comes to covering the Synod on Synodality mm-hmm. and covering what's happening in Germany, what's happening in Germany and San Diego, and I'm making references here to, you know, recent arguments within the American Catholic Church.
Right.
Don't forget that it's the mainstream press that covers that.
Yeah.
You know, which means that what most people learn about these controversies, they learn through the Associated Press and Gannett newspapers and through, if it's ever covered on TV, that's where they get the arguments about Catholic doctrine come through the lens of this press, which means the same kind of divisions caused in American politics then affects debates within the Catholic Church. So before we jump back in, let me do one more thing. The third definition of truth at this conference was the old-fashioned idea, well, at least can we agree that we will be accurate? Can we at least agree that we will try to treat people on both sides fairly? And the word objectivity has been replaced now with the word transparent, that at least publications should let you be honest. Should be honest with the reader and the viewer about what editorial slant they're using. But we all agreed right now that there's not much there's not much of a rationale for accuracy when if you report accurately on something and it makes your readers upset, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I mean, truth, it's a whole discussion we can have here, and I'm glad. I wish I was part of that conference. I should have went to that. I've always viewed truth outside of the teachings of my faith, and clearly I look at life through that prism. But as a journalist, as being objective and independent of individual perspective, right, you've got to observe what is happening and report objectively on that. I think we've lost that today. It's just a fundamental concept in philosophy, truth, and you and I could talk a very long time, and maybe we should do that, but I've got to leave it here because I have less than a minute to go. Let me put a plug in for your work because you're one of the great journalists that are out there. People want to read you. What's the best way to connect and follow you?
Well, my column is at tmatt.net, T-M-A-T-T.net, and there's 30-plus years of my columns there. And then getreligion.org is where I write several times a week. That's where Get Religion's own podcasts are, the writing of the great Richard Osling and Clemente Lisi on Catholic affairs. A lot of people there, Julia Dean and others.
Yeah.
So those are the two places to see what I do.
Terry, thank you so much. Kevin, I'm sorry, in San Clemente, he says his grandfather was a dean of journalism, and he believes what changed was the public airwaves and the stewardship that was granted to CBS and NBC and so many other networks. Good point.